You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts its money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network as we pick up the pieces following another Minnesota Vikings victory. We told you, man, if you go to the casino and you're standing with the roulette wheel and you see it's come up on red 16 times in a row, don't be the dumbass that says, you know what, I'm going to take a black. It can't come up red once again as the Minnesota Vikings. These guys are on a torrid pace right now, man. They've covered 18 of their last 20 football games that they played. Eli Manning's passes last night were higher than Snoop Dogg. And you can tell with Eli. Eli's either very good or he's really bad. And he's not one of these dudes that's suddenly going to get good and, oh, he's going to turn it up a notch in a game. No, no. And we could tell last night that Eli, it was just one of those deals. Odell Beckham, we gave you under 6.5 completions for Odell Beckham. It's not often that we go under with these props, but I knew the old dog would get shut down by that Viking defense. But we got screwed again by Blair Walsh. Like, the Walsh Project. You know, like, really. You know, it's as horrific as that Blair Witch movie was years ago. I'd like to see that movie over again, actually, and see if people were really freaked out by people walking around in the dark. Ooh, I'm scared. But I'm scared every time this jackass Walsh goes up to kick. Last year, I enjoyed it. I guess it serves me right. I was in Las Vegas, actually, at Hooters Sportsbook and Casino, when the Minnesota Vikings were playing the Seahawks in the playoffs last year, and there were a ton of people from Minnesota there, and I actually cashed a big ticket on Seattle in that game because he missed that field goal. So I guess, you know, what goes around comes around, but we got burnt last night on that because our teaser would have hit and a long field goal prop would have hit. Instead, it was a type of night. It could have been a, oh yeah, it could have been a Duff Man, oh yeah, type of night. It was good, not great. Good, not great. All right, so we got a ton of stuff to break down on the program this afternoon, this evening. Replays this evening. We welcome everybody listening on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network as well. But Dave Malinsky is going to join us in a couple of moments. We're going to talk baseball with Malinsky. Baseball playoffs set to begin. Mike Cardano, we're going to talk baseball. We're going to talk football as well. Baseball and football, but more baseball today. The Raging Redhead Cam Stewart joins us in studio. So we're a quarter way through the National Football League regular season right now. And we're not quite at you are what your record says you are, like Bill Parcells once said. He actually said that after 8 games. Halfway through the season, you are what your record says you are. We're not exactly there yet right now. But usually after a month, we're a quarter way through. Normally after a month, you can have a pretty good handle on what's going on in the National Football League. Not this year. I'm as lost as somebody who's watching Mr. Robot for the first time. I'm as lost as Paris Hilton in like a library. I don't know what the hell's going on. You know, let's just recap the first month of the National Football League season, you know, in a capsule, just a little bit here. All right, what was it? 3 weeks ago, the LA Rams got shut out by the San Francisco 49ers. They were getting mocked, man. They were pathetic. They got shut out on Monday Night Football to who many people thought were going to be the worst team in football. Jared Goff, the first overall pick in the draft, was so damn bad in the preseason, he wasn't even in uniform. Everybody was mocking Jeff Fisher. I used to defend Coach Fisher all the time, and even it caught up to me. I'm like, I can't defend this guy anymore. His team's blow. Now, suddenly, the Rams haven't lost since. Rams haven't lost since. They're in first place. Meanwhile, Arizona's scrambling for their life right now. Carolina Panthers scrambling for their life right now. How about the Buffalo Bills? How about the Buffalo Bills? A couple of weeks ago, they fired Greg Roman. Rex Ryan and his clown brother were going to be next. Bozo, Dink and Doink were coming up next. The Bills were a mess. Tyrod Taylor was so clueless. If he walked into a McDonald's, he wouldn't be able to read the freaking menu, let alone an NFL defense. Yet suddenly, the last 2 weeks, the Patriots get shut out. The Bills beat the crap out of the Arizona Cardinals. Oh, well, you know, the Patriots, they had Brissett. Yeah, they had Brissett when they kicked the snot out of the Houston Texans, didn't they? The Buffalo Bills are as baffling as the National Football League is. Who are the Buffalo Bills, anyways? Are they the team that just shut them out? I don't know. know, the simplified Wildcats working, man. But we got the L.A. Rams and the Buffalo Bills playing this weekend. And the winner of this game is either going to be 4-1 or 3-2. Like, seriously. Come on, man. I'm a gambling man. A couple of weeks ago, I would have told you there's a better chance of Donald Trump marrying Hillary Clinton, let alone running against president, running for president against her. Seriously. It's a better chance of Donald Trump converting to Islam. I've seen the light, and now I praise Allah. It's impossible. The Rams or the Bills, one of these teams is going to be 4-1 or 3-2. The only thing we know about the National Football League is we really don't know anything at all. But let's be real. If we're breaking this down, let's do college football, NFL-style poll, so to speak. Our own power ranking, so to speak. You know, Alabama, I've always, debated with people. If you win the college football championship, should it carry over to the next year? Should you automatically be number one? Well, listen, Alabama, you get the benefit of the doubt, you're number one. They haven't lost yet. That's the Denver Broncos. They haven't lost yet. It doesn't seem to matter who the hell the quarterback is in Denver. Now, before the year started, I told you that the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to win the AFC. I'm going to stand by that prediction. I told you the Seattle Seahawks were going to win the NFC. I don't know if I'm sort of sitting on that prediction right now because of the Minnesota Vikings. I don't want to get in this Vikings team way. This Vikings team is the real deal. They're covering machines. Look, I'm not exaggerating. Like, there's never been anything like this as far as a team covering as much as they do. And they don't really get respected all that much. This week, they get the Houston Texans. So if I had to tell you right now who's going to be playing in the Super Bowl, I'll tell you it's going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers against the Minnesota Vikings. But I'll tell you what, NFL power rankings and predictions are like UFC pay-per-views. The card, always subject to change. Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Television Network continues, as well as the radio networks as well. Let's get this party started. Cam Stewart's going to join me in studio in a couple of moments. Mike Cardano will join us as well. Dave Malinsky, bats leadoff. It's the Major League Baseball playoffs. I guess they're called the playoffs, although to me, it's not the playoffs. It is the wild card game, but not really. Like, NFL wild card teams, you're a real playoff team. To me, if you make this little play-in game and you lose, are you putting a playoff banner up? You know, it's kind of weak, man, but that's, they hang Taylor Swift and Bon Jovi banners in arenas nowadays. Let's bring in the professor, Dave Malinsky. Dave, is this really the playoffs? Should it be called the playoffs or should it be called the play-in? I'd be more comfortable with a play-in. It's a one-game series is not the playoffs.
But you know what? At least, let's say, in the case of the Blue Jays and the Orioles, they won 89 games each. They at least qualify to be alive in the postseason. There are going to be some years where we're going to have teams get into the wild card that just don't belong at all. Any of these teams in the wild card are capable of advancing. It's not like the teams that are ahead of them are all that much better.
No, I'll tell you what, David, I don't want to sound cliched here, but this is as wide open as I can remember. I know that I know a lot of people in the public are on the Cubs bandwagon right now, and the odds reflect that. But as you stated, you can make an argument, I think, for almost every team. There are a couple of teams that I don't really believe in, so to speak, more from a gut instinct, but let's jump right in here. Let's blast through the playoff picture. Let's start off with tonight with the Orioles and the Jays. I'll tell you what, Dave, the Jays are an annoying team. Other teams don't like them very much, and I think there's a pattern. Like, not everybody else could be wrong all the time. Like, the Rangers hate the Jays. The Royals hate the Jays. And even going back before the Jays were suddenly trendy and good over the last 2 years, Dave, the Orioles and the Jays have always really disliked each other. It's amazing that you have division rivals playing to get into the playoffs now.
Yeah, what we do it tonight, though, and that's why this is the epitome of a wild card game tonight. What a crapshoot from a handicapping standpoint. Because here's all we know about Marcus Stroman and Chris Tillman. They're going to throw the first pitch for their teams tonight. For the Blue Jays, you've got Liriano and Estrada, who will literally be ready to go from the first batter. For the Orioles, you've got Bundy, who could be ready for the first batter. You got Ubaldo Jimenez, who could be ready. This could be it's an entirely different game between this and tomorrow night, because tomorrow night, that absolutely is Bumgarner against Syndergaard. Tonight, it's rotation against rotation. Puts a lot of pressure on those managers.
No, it really does, David. It's amazing. You look at the numbers of both these pitchers coming into the matchup tonight, and neither of the pitchers did well against the respective clubs. Both Stroman and Tillman have both been hit hard.
And especially Tillman being hit hard at the Rogers Center, a career ERA of over 7. I think what it came down to, though, is if you're Buck Showalter, who do you trust to pitch with poise early? Bundy has better stuff than Tillman, but he doesn't have that experience. Jimenez has been lights out over the past month, but do you trust that to continue? So I think it's his call to say, look, of these three guys, Tillman struggled against this lineup. He struggled in this park, but he's the guy who can be the steadiest to go out and get through the first inning or two.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to right now. Now, listen, Dave, these two teams played each other 19 times this year. The Jays won 10 of the 19 matchups, but the Orioles have won 5 of the last 6. The Orioles stepped up last week against the Jays when they had to. Baltimore, I think you could argue, might be the streakier and hotter team right now, but this game's a real toss-up. I'm going to go with the Jays and the home field advantage tonight. Yet Stroman's a real gamble, isn't he? You never really know with Stroman. And, you know, the fact is, Stroman hasn't won a game since August the 14th.
Yeah, hasn't won a game, but it's actually pitched okay. Yeah. His earned run average is 3.93 over those 8 starts, so he's pitched okay. But let's touch upon the most important point. If you're the Blue Jays, you've got to win it in the first 7 innings. If you go tied or down into the 8th or 9th, boy, there's been a big gap between the bullpens. Not only this season, but in the month of September, earned run average of the Baltimore bullpen, 3 runs per 9 innings better than the Blue Jay bullpen. So if you're the Blue Jays, you need to win it early.
Dave Malinsky with us. So Dave, quickly before we move on to the next games, with these two pitchers tonight, I don't really love the under tonight. You know, you look, it's 8.5, but the fact of the matter is, I don't have to tell you, you're on top of every number in Vegas. The Orioles just crushed it to the under. These guys put up like monster streaks to the under. The fact is, the Jays and the Orioles, they played 7 straight unders against each other in the last couple of weeks, Dave. And over the season, it was 12-7 to the under. So there's no good reason to like the under tonight with these two pitchers on the hill. But the Jays' offense has been sputtering. So is Baltimore's. And the unders just keep coming up. I have to play the under tonight.
Yeah, a big part of it has been just how good Zach Britton has been. And I know it's hard for baseball purists to wrap their arms around a relief pitcher winning the Cy Young. This is the one season it's probably supposed to happen. Britton has been that dynamic that I think he has earned it. So if you're the Blue Jays, like I said, you've got to win it earlier. If you're down 1 in the 9th, it's been game over almost all season long. That's what keeps that total in perspective. Now, here's the flip side, though, of the total. Even though Stroman or Tillman could get yanked the first time there's any sign of trouble, you can never be sure how a starter will pitch if he comes in relief, especially guys like Liriano and Jimenez, who can be a little inconsistent with their control to begin with.
You know what? Liriano's actually been better than Stroman down the stretch, but the thought was they're going to go with one of their guys. You know, that Liriano just got there. That at least they know Stroman, and they think they know what they can get, but it'll be interesting. You know, he's going to be on a short leash, David. He got hit hard last year in the playoffs, if my memory serves me correctly, early. Gave up a bunch of runs against Texas early in the game. Now, as far as what's your gut tell you tonight, Dave, if you had to play the game?
The gut tells me that since it looks close, I'm going to give the lean to Baltimore because I trust Baltimore in the late innings. That's the big difference for me. So if it's close early, Orioles can find a way to hang around and then win it late with a bullpen.
What do you make of the Mets, Dave? Are they as good? Listen, after the All-Star break, you know, they have the best record in baseball, or at least in the National League, but they play in a weak division. I don't know. I have to go with the San Francisco Giants pedigree here. This polar opposite of the game we just talked about with Tillman and Stroman. Now we go into Syndergaard and we go into Bumgarner, two pitchers who have proven their worth in the postseason in the past. They couldn't ask for a better situation. They get a benefit of the doubt day playing on Wednesday. They get to set up their future rotations. Now the total is 6 in this game, Dave. But you know, over the years in these early playoff games, when you get these aces, especially early in the playoffs, you get these crazy low numbers, 5.5, 6, and more often than not, these games go over the number.
You're just talking about each team getting to 3. You know, just scratch it out, scratch it out. The only way to win an under, you must hold one team to 0-1 or 2.
Yeah, one and bad inning, one big inning too, Dave, and it gets busted right open.
That's it. And there's a little bit of a wild card with Syndergaard here. We pretty much know what Bumgarner's going to bring, but Syndergaard's only pitched one time since September 19th. And sometimes for a guy that throws the way he throws, with the stuff he has, it can be a problem if you're a little bit too fresh. So let's see if Syndergaard can be under control. You honestly don't want Syndergaard out there throwing 100 or 101. You'd rather have him throwing 97 or 98. It could be an issue for him early to get under control.
So, Dave, you know, the Mets were in the World Series, so I can't say they don't have the pedigree, but I look at San Francisco's pedigree, giving them the edge here, and I told people, these guys aren't dead yet. They're not done. Until they're done, they're not done, and here they are right now. They're 18-1 to win the World Series. My gut, and these games are all toss-ups, but my gut has to go with the Giants pedigree, winners of 7 of the last 10, sweeping the Dodgers. I think they're hot right now.
Yeah, because the Giants are okay in any series because you figure Bumgarner pitches 3 times or twice in the short series, 3 times in a 7-game series. That's awfully big because he will stay under control. Issue for the Giants, though, can they trust anyone beyond Cueto? Cueto is a great number 2. Matt Moore had his moments, but is Matt Moore ready for the playoff pressure? Big question for him.
All right, so speaking of which, it's like a similar situation. Although I like the Dodgers setup. We'll get to them in a moment. We have the Red Sox and the Indians. The Red Sox are -165 favorites. We've got Francona taking on his former club in which he won the World Series with. We got Porcello and Price going. So you got a nice 1-2 situation. After that, you got Rodriguez and you got Clay Buchholz, which you don't really know about. I'm pretty high on this Boston team. They feel like the it team to me right now, Dave. Fenway's so hard to win at in the postseason. Big Poppy's last season. The Red Sox, they just find a way to win games in October. And generally, Cleveland have found ways to lose games in October. We have two of the highest scoring offenses in the American League here, yet I doubt these games are all going to be 9-8 games. What's your breakdown of this series?
Yeah, the pitching's good enough to prevent it from being 9-8, but when you go up and down the lineups, you just like the Boston lineup better. The issue, though, for them is something they didn't expect to be an issue. The back end of their bullpen was good. They thought it was going to be very good. And that part of their arsenal wasn't as good as they quite thought it was going to be. So I like the Red Sox a little. And everyone, get prepared for one thing. You're going to hear all over the sports mediaverse about how bad David Price has been in the playoffs. Price has actually been fine in the playoffs. His teams haven't won the game he's pitched, largely because they haven't scored for him, but he's thrown the ball just fine. So you're going to hear that 0-7 playoff run repeated over and over again. No, you can trust David Price in the playoffs.
The Red Sox took the season series 4-2 and outscored them 31-18. All right, Dave, being a Dodger fan, this is the one that I'm looking forward to the most. And I told people, I should be richer because all my predictions come true, it seems, Dave. I told people, Dusty Baker and the Nationals are on a collision course. They're going to meet the Dodgers in the playoffs. You know this means a lot to Dusty, Dave. You know, being the longtime longtime Dodger. You know, growing up, he was one of my favorite players with the LA Dodgers in the 70s and into the 80s, Dave. And I know that it bothers him and it rubs him the wrong way that, you know, the Dodgers have had quite a few managers over the years, Dave, and Dusty hasn't been one of them. And that's got to grind his gears a little bit. Now he's got a chance to knock them out of the playoffs. This is a fun series with Washington and the Dodgers. Dodgers minus 160 series favorites, though. That surprised me a little bit that it was that high.
It tells you a little bit, though, about the status of things for the Nationals. No Steven Strasburg, no Wilson Ramos. And, you know, we don't even know for sure that they have a Bryce Harper. Harper, he was just a bad baseball player, you know, down the stretch. He was extremely unproductive. So they don't know what they're going to get out of him. Murphy injured down the stretch. He expects to play, but they don't know if he's going to be 100%. Jason Worth has been dinged up. It's just not the full Washington package out there right now. I think that's the problem for them. Dodgers, though, have this issue. They know what they're going to get out of Clayton Kershaw, but you still can't be too confident about any of the other starters. That's a problem.
You know what? I don't mind them, Dave. I think Rich Hill has been solid. Didn't look great against San Francisco in the last game. But you're right. They're going with young arms. But I'm a big believer, and we've seen in modern sports, Dave, from college into the NFL with rookies, etc., and now with baseball, I'm a big believer that, you know, sometimes these kids are too dumb to know any better, that they're supposed to be pressure. So we got Maeda and we got Urias coming in here, both in this setting. Both have electric stuff, but both never been in these pressure situations before. I like what they're doing, though, that they get the pitch at home, Dave.
Yeah, so much of this gets determined right off the bat, though. If Kershaw outpitches Scherzer in game one, it's so hard for Washington to make that back up. And I think that's going to be the difficulty for them. Also, something to watch, though, through this one, might this series get scrambled up a little bit because we've got the storm coming up through there? That might there be a postponement? We might see a gap between maybe a game one and a game three, which might open it up for Kershaw to be an even bigger factor in the series. That's something Dusty Baker really doesn't want.
Dave, I haven't seen the numbers, but I imagine the winner of game one in a five-game series wins the series in the 60s, at least 60% of the time. The five-game setting is ruthless, man. I prefer to start on the road because if you can steal one of those games, you're going home and you really put the home team behind the eight ball. And we're talking about the Dodgers. What are you going to get from the Nationals? So they're setting Scherzer out there, Tanner Roark, but then they're going to be going on the road. They'll either have Joe Ross and Gio Gonzalez. Are you comfortable with that?
You throw Gonzalez out there for sure because the Dodgers have been terrible against left-handers all year. Finished the season with the worst OPS of any team against lefties. Question is whether Gonzalez can step up and execute his pitches, which is a big, big issue for them. I might not be surprised, though, if Gonzalez maybe becomes the game two starter and maybe work to save him back for Los Angeles.
Dave, let's switch gears and talk some college football. It was such a monster Saturday this past Saturday. So many memorable endings. We can't get to them all, but one of the games that I had my eye on was Tennessee and Georgia. And it wasn't a great game for the first three and a half quarters, really. Things sort of got crazy in the final couple of moments of the game in which, you know, Georgia showed a lot of moxie after blowing the lead. Tennessee shows a lot of grit coming back again, although they're living dangerously, aren't they? They're always, you know, rallying back. Then you figure, all right, Georgia, young team, they're going to collapse. Boom, this Jacob Eason kid looks like the real deal. Beautiful touchdown pass late. Not a Hail Mary, but pretty much, I think it was like 3rd and 13. The next play would have been a Hail Mary. They hit the touchdown, and then boom, I don't know what the hell Kirby Smart was doing. He kicks off short. They find themselves in a situation where they can either kick a 67-yard field goal, which isn't happening in college, or go for the Hail Mary. They go for the Hail Mary, and they get it. Really, really epic, epic finish. But Jones breaks down in tears. Tennessee survives, but oddsmakers don't think they're getting past the Texas A&M Aggies, Dave. Aggies laying 7 points. points in this game.
Yeah, that Texas A&M defense has been so awfully good. Managed to win at South Carolina without Myles Garrett last week. They expect to get Garrett back in the lineup. Best pass rush in the country right now is Texas A&M. What's the most important factor to have when you're a favorite, you know, in this point spread range? A pass rush, because you expect to have the lead in the fourth quarter. Tennessee will have to play from behind. This is, even though Tennessee has scratched and clawed their way out of a couple, this is a bigger uphill battle.
Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. All right, let's jump right in and continue the baseball conversation. No doubt, Mike Cardin. I'm going to hold Mike to a couple of things that he said. I wish we had the tape actually ready to go. But there's only so many things our research team can do in one day. So let's bring in Mike Cardin, a Roto expert, Fantasy Sports Network's very own, Coast of Out of Bounds. What's going on, Mike?
Keep in mind, I have a long-standing policy of denying everything. It just works in my best interest.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, let's. Before we get to it, I'll hold it against you because they actually coincide with each other. So let's start off though with the Orioles and the Jays tonight. We just have Dave Malinsky on. The guy's a great baseball capper, great baseball mind. He loves the game. He was like a fantasy analytics guy, you know, years ago before it was cool. Like I remember like 20 years ago, Dave. Who's about this? He's given the edge to Baltimore because of the bullpen tonight. Hard to disagree with that. I give the edge to the Jays because of home field, but it's a real toss-up tonight. What's your feeling?
Hey, listen, if Baltimore is going to win this game, if the Blue Jays are going to win this game, they're going to have to get out to an early lead here. You know, to me, Zach Britton is the whole thing, and it wouldn't surprise me if they threw him two innings tonight if they had the lead. He's 47-47 in saves, but it's more than that. You know, some people view saves as a flawed statistic. He's allowed just one run since June 21st. He gave up three runs that night to the Padres. He's only allowed four runs all year. You look at his ERA of 0.54. It's the lowest of any pitcher in baseball who's ever thrown at least 65 innings in a season. They've been playing baseball for a long time. And, you know, if you're not an ERA guy, you look at his FIP 1.94 or his WHIP 0.84. He's got a strikeout percentage of almost 30%. So he's pitched more than one inning five times this season, and he's done it once against the Blue Jays at the Rogers Center on July 31st. So I think I would give the edge to them as well. Listen, both of these offenses are sputtering. I think the over-under, what was it, like 9.5? I would go under just because of these the way they've been, both been sputtering. And for that reason, if they're going to sputter and they're going to throw Zach Britton in there, I've got to go with Baltimore. So if Blue Jays going to win, I think they got to get out to an early lead and use that crowd to their advantage.
Wow, that's two Baltimores to zero Torontos. Maybe we got to switch hats here. Move, it's going to be throughout the week, guys.
The only reason is I'm looking for a high-scoring game here. I could see if it was a high-scoring game. If I'm looking for a low-scoring game, they're going to bring him in there, and he's going to go at least six outs.
You would figure, Mike, that it would be a higher-scoring game, right? Chris Tillman has horrible numbers against the Jays. Stroman's been crushed. He hasn't won a game since August the 14th. He's been hit hard in his career against the Baltimore Orioles. We can get into the numbers, everybody knows that.
High-scoring games against
no,
each other.
They don't. That's the whole thing, Mike. It's amazing. Baltimore hit a ton of home runs and stuff, but if you look, they had like 90 unders. They're an under machine. They went on a streak. I was giving it every day on the program, Mike, down the stretch. Under. And in fact, these two teams have played each other seven times in the last 2 weeks, Mike. All seven games, under the number. They played 19 times in the season. 12 times, under the number. It doesn't make any sense when you look at the starting pitching numbers here, but I'm going under the number 8.5.
Gabe, I think maybe that's just something where they look at the two teams and the offenses and the prowess of them, that maybe the numbers are just too high.
And you know, the Jays are only scoring like 2.38 runs a game down the stretch. And you're right. People look at the, you know, the numbers. Oh, look at Baltimore and all the home runs they hit. All these high-powered bats and stuff. They're not cashing them in, man. They're not cashing them in. All right. So this is
here's what I'd say real quick, Gabe. I think if the Jays Jays win, it'll be more of a blowout. If it's a close game, I give it to the Orioles.
Yeah, I can agree with that assessment. I agree. But you do like the under in this game. All right. So what I'm going to hold you here to is this Giants at Mets game. Off the top of the program, Mike, I said it was as improbable. Imagine that the winner of the Rams and the Bills is either going to be 4-1 and 3-2 or 3-2. I said there's a better chance of Donald Trump marrying Hillary Clinton, let alone debating her, than that happening. Now, I remember, Mike, because I remember everything. I remember like 2 months ago, we were talking about the Mets. You gave up. You're like, ah, they're done. It's over. They're not going to the playoffs this year. And you gave up on San Francisco. And I remember the segment because I remember telling you, they're like a killer in a horror movie, man. You know, you think Freddy's dead, but he's not. Then he starts stabbing you in the heart. Or Jason appears from the lake and pulls the teenage girl into the water. The Giants are back. They ain't dead yet.
Stunned disbelief that both these teams are here. Just shocked. So look at it this way. I got a clean slate now. I really am. I'm stunned that either one of these two teams are here. After what the Giants went through with their slide, the worst record in baseball, and there's no way I could have counted on the Mets playing the way they played down the stretch. And get this. Over the last 18 games of the season, when the Mets won 11, they went 11-7, their best player, Cespedes, he hit .203 with one home run, 8 RBIs, and an on-base percentage of just barely .300, .301, and only 5 extra base hits. And they've actually found some ways to score runs without hitting a home run and doing some other things, which is really different. That's totally contrary to them, the way they've played the rest of the season. So it's interesting. That's a good thing for them that they're finding some other ways to score runs other than waiting until Cespedes comes up in the lineup.
So what's your pick? And it's so tough. I think it's easier to predict the series is than it is these one-game wild cards, Mike. But, you know, you're a Met guy, but you're not really a homer when it comes to picking games. What's your tell? My gut tells me I got to go with Bumgarner and just the pedigree of the Giants, but it's a real toss-up.
You know what? I would take either team that was home in this one. I'm going to take the Mets here, and here's why. I looked at it, and I'm like, okay, Curtis Granderson, Jay Bruce, which I don't know if he's going to be in the lineup. I'm guessing he is. And they're going to put Loney or Duda at first base. To me, that's a waste of time putting any of those three position players out there. They're not going to do anything. But they do have Jose Reyes is much better from the right side, Asdrubal Carrera, much better from the right side, and Cespedes going 1-2-3. And they've all had a modicum of success against Bumgarner. So I like that. I'm looking at the offense for the Giants. I don't see anything that strikes me. You know, their catcher just isn't healthy. He hasn't been healthy all year, Posey. And he's the one to me that's the catalyst. Brandon Belt has underperformed expectations. I think he may be leading the team in home runs, or maybe 17. And I just don't see anybody that threatens me. I know they're always pesky. They have one of the best managers in the game. But again, if it goes into a close game, and I have no reason to believe, even if there's some adversity early in the game, that either of these two pitchers are going to be leaving the game, I got to go with the Mets bullpen, much better than the Giants bullpen. So I would go with that for that reason. But, you know, it is a little bit of a crapshoot. I'm going to stay away from this game, but if I had a pick, particularly since the Mets are dogs, I'd take them at home.
All right, so the Cubs are favored to win the World Series at +225. The Texas Rangers are +475. The Rangers get the winner of Baltimore and Toronto tonight. And the Cubs get the winner of San Francisco and the Mets. What's your gut instinct, Tally? What's your feeling when it comes to who's going to be playing in the World Series, Mike?
Well, I don't know if this is going to surprise you or not. I'm looking at Dodgers and Rangers.
The Dodgers? No, that's a bold pick.
It's too easy to say the Cubs. I don't care. Listen, they got the curse of the Billy Goat. They got the Black Cat. They got Steve Bartman. Until I see it happen, it's not happening. Gabe, there is nobody literally alive in North America who has seen the Cubs win a World Series. There isn't anybody alive. And that's not going to change until we talked about this the other day. These patterns don't change until they do, and I'm not going to be the first one to hop on the bandwagon.
What about the fact that the Cavaliers just won? Yeah, that's sort of, you know what I mean?
Well, well, they won, but they were. You know what? Everybody started jumping on that bandwagon when they were behind, though.
I know. So, Texas Rangers. All right. You know, no, it's not. A lot of people don't like the Rangers. I actually think the Jays get past here. I think the Rangers beat either Toronto or Baltimore. People
How
think,
great would it be to see the Blue Jays and Rangers again?
Oh, no. Well,
I don't want to see a bat flip.
All right. How great will it be to see Ryan Pickpatrick throw another three picks? I don't mean to pile. I don't want to pile on, Mike. We only got like 30 seconds on the way out here. But, man, this guy's been bad. His last five games, 11 fourth quarter interceptions, zero touchdowns. He's got 8 fourth quarter interceptions already this year. Man, if this guy was a closer, he'd be demoted to AAA by now. Hey, Mike, I don't think he's going to be holding out next summer, is he?
No. Okay, there's two things here. One, the receivers are not open. And two, he's throwing the ball to them, even though they're not open. They have bigger problems than just him. If there's another quarterback there, there's no one to throw the ball to. But he's clearly, and he's got no touch on the ball. He's whipping the ball 90 miles an hour to guys that are 5 feet in front of him. The ball's popping up in the air. It's crazy. He doesn't look like an NFL quarterback at the moment at all. They obviously have nowhere to go, right? I mean, if they had anybody at
exactly.
all to put in, they would be in by now.
Well, at least he's got an education to fall back on, right? He is a smart guy. He went to Harvard, so.
That's what they keep saying, but they keep running them out there.
I know. I always wonder that. As a Bills fan, me and Blessing always said this over the years. If he's so smart, why does he do so many stupid things on a football field? And now you Jet fans. I did. I told you last year was an anomaly. He's a scammer. He's a grifter. Look at the beard. All right. We got to get out of here. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Take care.
Yeah, like seriously, Fitzpatrick looks like someone that's like, he gives you that story outside the bus station, like the real smart hustlers do. They pull out like $12 and then they tell you, man, I'm just $6 short. I got to get to Niagara Falls to see my sick grandmother and stuff. Oldest con in the book. I had a couple of teenagers come up to me and do that the other day outside of Union Station. She gave the kids a couple of bucks just for their ingenuity. It's nice to see the grifting scams are still going. Game Time Decisions continues. Game Time Decisions. We are live on the Fantasy Sports Network. It's been an adventurous day today. And you know what? We're just getting started. The Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, joins us live in studio. And, of course, we're now on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, available on iTunes. Cam, always a pleasure. How you doing?
Doing good, Moretti. I liked your little speech. $2 for the ingenuity. I remember one time, too, Gabe and I actually, it was Christmas season, and we had a lot of money back then. And there was a local Toronto grifter, the Silver Fox. He was outside Gabby's bar. And we were in a good mood because we must have won a parlay, you know. We're giving them $20. Is that all you guys got? It's never enough, right? You give a guy $40 and he still wants more.
Yeah, I remember.
I don't give that guy anything anymore.
Our show
Nothing.
Used to be on like a giant screen outside, so we were very popular with homeless people.
Yeah, very.
Like, they had nothing to do all day, right? So, and the sound was up. And I used to drop a lot of F-bombs, too. It actually got to the point where they're like, yeah, the city of Toronto's, you know, they're complaining. It's like, you're swearing too much. And they told me to turn it
anyway, we gave those guys a lot of money. I'd like a thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Cam, let's jump in here.
Yep.
You're a Toronto Blue Jay fan.
I am. Yeah.
Are you passionate? You're not like, you're a bigger Leaf fan than Jay fan, aren't
When
you?
I was a kid, I would say, you know what, Morenci? Like, the Jays were one of those things, I love them. Due to personal things that have happened in my life, the love and admiration for the Jays has changed a little bit due to certain people. But anyway, I will tell you this. This is what I don't understand.
So what, you've met them over the years?
Well, it's just, hey, you think of, like, whoever signs your check, that's who's your friend. When you don't get checks from that person anymore, they're not your friend.
Okay, so you have more problem with the owners of the team
yes.
than so the players.
You got that right. I really don't care. I'll say it. Yeah, I do. And I'll tell you one thing. It's absolutely insane to me. You have two teams that are basically equal in the Baltimore Orioles and Toronto Blue Jays, yet the Jays are, what, 5-1 to come out of the AL and 10-1 the World Series, and I get Baltimore at like almost 9-1 to come out of the AL and 27 or 28-1 to win the World Series. That seems like a really bad line. If this game goes to the seventh inning and Baltimore's leading, the game's already done with Zach Britton. Hey, I'll tell you one thing, Morenci. I got some.
Baltimore's getting no respect, Cam.
Yeah,
you're right. 25-1 to win the World
Morenci,
Series.
And Morenci, when I come on your show, I like to bring numbers. One thing, Strowman, 7.04 ERA in 7 starts against these guys. Tillman, he has a bad ERA too, 5.44, but in his last two against the Jays at Rogers Center.
This game game's going under.
A sparkling 2.38. You like the under?
It's going to go under.
Most Baltimore games do go under.
Yeah, you're damn right they do. Last seven times these two teams have played, it's gone under the number as well. I know, Cam, I know you, because you and I have been doing this a long time. We'll get to some of the other games. You're not laying 55 cents with the Jays tonight.
No, I'm not. And I also have to be realistic, Morency. This is a great case scenario. My girlfriend and I went to Vegas, and we were in the sports book partying. She goes, what baseball team are we going to take? 1 year we won with Kansas City. We met a very, very wise man from the Maryland area, and we had a great conversation at the blackjack table. I told her, honey, load up on Baltimore AL and World Series. So even if the Jays win tonight, we still have a – sorry, if Baltimore wins, I could still cheer for Toronto and get bar gigs. Do you understand? It's a win-win situation. So I got both sides.
All right. So about the Mets and the Giants tomorrow, who are you taking there?
Listen, you want to talk about success stories. Bumgarner doesn't lose at Citi Field, and Syndergaard was lights out. These guys are basically undefeated. We have a 5-0 pitcher in Bumgarner and a 2-0 pitcher in Syndergaard. Morency, this game is a pick 'em. I would actually take the under 6 in this game. I don't know how they score 6 runs with those pitchers.
Historically, these really low totals have gone over the number in the playoffs, but I agree with you. I don't see where the runs are coming from.
A lot of outs. This game could be like 0-0, 1-0.
They're both proven postseason studs.
I agree.
They've both gotten it done in the World Series before in postseason under pressure. All right, Cam. The Boston Red Sox and our boy Mikey over here on
Mikey
Camera 1.
Mikey likes it. Yeah, Camera 1's a big Boston fan.
Yeah, Mikey's a good guy. He doesn't say incredibly dumb things like Camera 2, Drew. Does. Seriously, every day. Like, I come in today, he sees the Expo jersey. He's like, why don't you wear a team that's actually good?
Really?
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
I don't know.
They don't even exist anymore.
I know, exactly.
And he started telling me Vladimir Guerrero is only okay.
What? Oh, my God. Sometimes, Drew, you are an idiot, but we love you. By the way, I haven't seen many sandwiches lately. Am I off your girlfriend's wish list for the sandwiches? Come on.
All right. So I think the Red Sox are going to beat the Indians in the series. But I know you're an underdog guy, but are you going to take the Indians in the series?
No, I'm actually, Gabe, I actually would lay the juice with Boston. I think Boston's too hot. Big Poppy swan song. The Red Sox have been playing meaningful baseball for a long time. As for Cleveland, they haven't. The one pooch I'd look at is actually the Washington Nationals, the team you detest against the Dodgers. And you said it. Morency knows about this, and we've talked about this. Teams that are favored in baseball, bad things happen. They get too tense. Things don't go well. Baseball is the ultimate betting.
Postseason baseball is all about the underdog.
Bet dogs.
And you know what it is, Cam, too? It's sort of like, you know, playing Little League baseball. When your team gets hot in a tournament, you just sort of...
You're playing with house money.
There's always that team in the playoffs. We've seen Kansas City over the last couple of years become that team. There's just that team where things are going to go well for them. The other team's going to have the bases loaded, but they're not going to get anything, and they're going to win on a sacrifice.
And wild card teams have had great success.
But Boston looks so damn good to me. I think Boston looked like the team to beat in the American League.
Mm-hmm.
You're right about the Dodgers and the Nationals. The Dodgers are postseason underachievers, but I'll tell you, Kev, there's a different feeling to this Dodgers team. They're not wimps. They're not wusses.
I don't know. The Nationals at that price looks pretty enticing to me, buddy.
All right, so let's talk some NFL football, Kev.
I should have listened to you last week. I'll give you a lot of credit, Morency. We both talked about the Rams. And
I told everybody
I know,
would listen. And I'm glad because half of you in the same Survivor League that I'm in took Arizona.
Yeah.
Half of you got wiped out.
I teased Arizona and it ruined my Sunday. So I'm just going to tell you, it's so stupid. I should have teased the Rams to the bigger number.
I thought
number.
You were on board with the Rams when we were talking about
it. You know what
it.
Happens when you got money tied up? Your head's not right. I'm just like, I just needed them to win the game. And then I'm like, you know what? The Rams are going to win this game. So I should have lied that the Rams.
You, but we're 4 weeks into the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I've had two good, really good weeks, all right?
Yep.
I've had one really bad week. I'm talking about money. Like, you know, forget about records and what's this and that. I'm talking about what happened, what did I owe the man, or what did he owe me at the end of the...
Yes.
After week one, it was like two dimes. After week two, it was a push. You know, it was like minus 150 or whatever. After week three,
you're taking it back.
I was on the wrong side. After week four, it was real nice. Yeah, Cam, in the super contest, I couldn't buy a win if you gave me the box score after the game. I would tell you, no. The Patriots won't lose to
Morency,
the Bills.
I'm in the super contest, too. I hate guys on my team. We're all friends. Everybody's a know-it-all. We get together on this message system. Your picks suck. We're not taking this. I got to be honest with you. I'm done. I'm absolutely done.
So after 1 week, it was 4-1. It was all team unity.
Yeah.
I told you guys it's a long season. You'll unravel.
I know. You said it. When you're dealing with teammates in this contest, everybody. every team's got the smart guy. And you know what? I'm done with it.
Is there a guy that chirps after? Oh, I told you not to do this.
Yeah, and I know what? I'm done with that. So you know what? You guys can pay the money next year. I'm done. I'm going to get my own team.
You're not fine. And the worst, you and I did the same thing. I'm thinking, I cannot believe I flew to Las Vegas, spent $2,000 to stay at the D for 2 days, spent $3,000 to enter two contests, and it's all gone.
All right, sir.
Like, I'm out of $5,000 right now.
No, we could have done.
It's like, I'm thinking of bankroll. We could have done it.
We could have put 8,000 to 10 in an account and had some fun. I know, I feel like a complete stooge as well. But right, anyway, let's get down to business.
Cards
this week.
49ers.
I'm taking the 49ers.
You got 1 minute.
I'm done. Cam, I'm done with the Cardinals. I'll tell you, I don't care if it's Carson Palmer concussed, Drew Stanton, who cares? San Francisco and Blaine Gabbert, everyone, ooh, the Cardinals will get on the run. You know what? I don't trust that team. I actually trust the 49ers more. Give me the pooch. The dogs, the favorites have been covering on big primetime games. Not this week. I'm going with the Niners.
All right, Titans, Dolphins. Man, it was 5.5. It's down to 3.5
How
now.
You can't lay
points with the Dolphins. They're terrible.
Morenci's notes are the best. Dolphins are like frozen pizza. Looks good in the store. You want it to be good, but it's always a letdown.
Yeah, isn't that a good comparison?
I laugh.
Frozen pizza always looks good on the cover of the box, except you know.
It sucks.
It sucks.
It does suck.
I've never had a good... Frozen pizza is one of those deals where it's like, it was okay.
It was never like, oh, that was so good. I gotta be honest with you.
Frozen pizza sucks like the Dolphins do.
It's never okay. Give me the pooch in the matchup. This game stinks.
We gotta get out of here. For more Raging Redhead, tune in tonight at midnight on Morenci Unfiltered. We're coming back with our plays of the day. It's time for our plays of the day. We've got to be pretty quick, but we only have one game. Baseball playoffs are here. I don't love the Jays, but this segment should be brought to you by Tropicana, just like the late, great Ted Tevens show was, because we're squeezing some juice here. As the Raging Redhead Cam Stewart would say, we're laying the 55 cents. Godspeed, Stroman. We're going under 8.5 the last 7 times. These two teams have played. It's gone under the number. They played 19 times on the season. It was 12-7 to the under. This game's going to go under the number. No run in the first inning for the degenerate gamblers. Roll the dice. Chris Tillman, under 4.5 strikeouts. He's not a strikeout pitcher, man. Marcus Stroman, 5.5 strikeouts. This guy's going to be on a short leash, man. He gets up for a couple of runs. He's going to get the hook. Liriano's going to be in. We're going to go under 5.5. Other night, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.